Hey, welcome everybody. Hanukkah Lunch and Learn 2020. Unfortunately, this one is a BYOL, bringing your own latkes, but hopefully soon we'll be able to get back together again soon. So the I think a good way of introducing this question, why do we celebrate Hanukkah, right? That is the at least the title that I put on the source sheet. And perhaps a way to introduce it is a passage from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik in Days of Deliverance, which is the book having to do with his thoughts on Purim and Pesach. He says, everybody sees the revealed Hanukkah and fills them with wonder. They understand the story of heroism in the battlefield, the military victories, and the obvious miracle of the oil, etc. Next paragraph. We have no lack of military victories in our history, but we nevertheless do not celebrate them, right? We have... To borrow a phrase from the Rambam, there is a type of holiness that is temporary, one is everlasting. When the land of Israel was lost, its conquest was canceled, and its holiness was annulled. Meaning, why is this, if we're going to say we celebrate Hanukkah because of the military victory. So, all right, there's plenty of military victories that the Jews had, both during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, maybe not as many during the second Beis HaMikdash, but certainly in Navi, we don't celebrate when B'nai Yisrael entered the land of Israel, or all of those victories. Why is this one unique? And then he says, well, and if you say that that it's, well, it's about the oil, right? As for the miracle of the cruise of oil, we have no lack of miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't have a holiday for those either, right? Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there was Nisim, there were miracles, there was the fire that went straight up, the Lechem HaPanim that stayed fresh the entire week, right? So why is it that this miracle gets some kind of celebration? Our Soloveitchik went on for his own answer, but a thought came to me. I actually read this article several months ago, and I put it aside and said, you know what? This sounds like a good Hanukkah piece from, I'm not even sure how I get it. There is a website called academia.edu, I think, and somehow I get emails from them once or twice a week with, hey, you might enjoy this article. So this is one of them that came up. You might enjoy this article. So it piqued my interest. Aryeh Edri, Divine Spirit and Physical Power, Rav Shlomo Gorin and the Military Ethic and the Israeli Defense Forces, in some journal from 2006. So just highlight here and he deals with there over the course of that article. It's not about Hanukkah per se, rather it's about Rav Gorin's sort of his chiddush in terms of what changed now that we now have a state of Israel and a functioning Jewish army. It's about how he was able, what his thought process was in developing the ethic of the new Israeli army. Rav Gorin was born in, I think, 1913 or so, someplace in that range, came to Israel from Europe relatively young, and was already of rabbinic age during the time of Israel's war for independence, and somehow was able to develop a relationship with David Ben-Gurion, with trying to figure out a way that the army would be a 100% Jewish halachic army. And he established the position of chief rabbi of the IDF for several decades. He later on went on to become the chief rabbi of Israel for a decade. But as chief rabbi of the IDF, he worked with the government, and he himself had a military rank, to figure out a way that it will be a true Jewish army. He saw the founding of the State of Israel through the lens of either a time of coming of a Mashiach or at least a reestablishment of a Jewish kingdom. And therefore, the army needed to be reflective of that. So this article is about his various challenges in trying to figure that out. Not so much the halakhic challenges, but sort of the hashkafic philosophical challenges. So Hanukkah became much more popular over the last couple of decades, perhaps because of the recognition... yes, Jonathan. Perhaps because of the recognition that it represented a Jewish military battle. We don't have other Yomim Tovim that recognize that. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, Pesach is escaping from Egypt. The other ones are Yom Tovim in their own right. Purim is not so, even though there was a military victory, it's more about us being saved than about us being victorious. So all of a sudden, this was a military victory, and therefore became a very prominent, much more prominent holiday in Israel than perhaps other ones as well. So where do we focus on with regards to Hanukkah? So there aren't too many passages, right? There's no Megillas Hanukkah, certainly not in Tanakh. But we do have the passage that we say in Al Hanisim, Amivei Matisyahu ben Yochanan during those days. And if we look through that passage, the that we say during Shmona Esrei as well as during benching, there's actually not it doesn't talk about the miracle of the oil. It doesn't talk about the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days. Oh, the only allusion it makes is Va'achar kein bo vanecha l'dvir beisecha finus heichalecha, that afterwards the sons came in order to clear out the house and the heichal, v'tirus mikdashecha, and make the Beis HaMikdash tahor again, pure again, v'hidlik neirus v'chatsus katshecha, they lit the candles, v'kavush moris mechanukah elo dos elashim chagaton, they established those 8 days as days of Hanukkah. Doesn't make a reference to the idea that the candles lasted for 8 days. Now, you might ask the question of why are they celebrating for 8 days? What happened for 8 days? But it doesn't explicitly mention that side of the miracle. Rather, it's about B'nai Yisrael overcoming the odds, the Jewish army overcoming the odds and defeating the Greeks in battle. However, if you take a look at the Gemara's description of what we're celebrating these days, so that's source number 3, my Chanukah. So what is Chanukah? The Tanur Rabbanan, B'chaf hei b'kislev yomi d'chanukah tam ne'inun. Those are the 8 days of Hanukkah. They begin on the 25th of Kislev. The Lemifseid Bahon, the Latanus Bahon. We can't have Hespedim eulogies, and we don't fast on those days. And the Cheshenichnesu Yevanim Beheichal, the Greeks came into the Beis HaMikdash. Tamu Kol Hashmanim Shebeheichal. They caused all of the oils in the Heichal to become impure. What exactly was that technical impurity is a bit of a question. We discussed that we saw that this past Shabbos, v'cheshegavr malchus beis chashmonai v'nitzchum, and when the kingdom of beis chashmonai was victorious, badku v'lo matzu elapach echa, they could only find one vial of oil, shel shemen shehayimunach b'chosmo shel kohen gadol, that was left with the seal of the kohen gadol, v'lo ayabo el lahadlik yom echa, they could only light for 1 day, v'nasa bo neis v'hidliku mimenu shmoni yam, and a miracle happened that lasted for 8 days, and the next year they established it as a yontif. So the Gemara seems totally focused on the miracle and not focused on the military victory. It just says they came in, and then the Beis HaChashmonai was victorious, and they came in. But it doesn't talk about the miracle at all. So we seem to have, with these two passages, conflicting views of Hanukkah. What we say in Shmona Esrei seems to have nothing to do with the miracle of the oil, and when we celebrate the miracle of the oil, it seems to have nothing to do with the military victory. So Rav Goren, writing in a journal called Machanayim. So Machanayim, it seems, they're actually all available on Otzer HaChachma, which is a little surprise to see. But Otzer, I look, you know, there's a couple of different online resources for a lot of different texts. Otzer HaChachma, Hebrew books, the Bar Ilan, Sefaria. So this one happens to be, I found in Otzer HaChachma, kind of on I thought it would be a long shot. It's about 130, 140 volumes that are all available there. This is from volume 100, a lot of them having to do with Yom Tovim. And it was some kind of circular, some kind of periodical that was sent out, it seems like, to the religious officers serving in Tzahal, with Torah thoughts that was sent around to those serving the Israeli army at the time. So Rav Goren has a thought about Hanukkah, and he points out the following challenge that we have to recognizing the miracle, the military aspect of the day. He says, "Gam Chanukah biyosam semel umofes lenitzachon umeatim neged arabin." That Chanukah is a symbol of a miracle and a success of a few against many. Ba'akav tiva shel milchama l'tei shava lo umatrosa hamukdeshes hamiyuchedes b'minan. And it is a symbol of the victory, the symbol of the success of the military victory. Shikara ha'isemitzar ha'yevanim milchamas shmad hashkichem yisarasecha. Because really, it was the main part of the day is that they were victorious against the Greeks who were attempting to eradicate our religion. It says b'chol zos lo matzu chachmei ha'talmud l'nachun l'hadgish es ha'nitzchonos. But he says, despite
the fact that it was a pretty important military victory, we only find in the Gemara, we only find in the Talmud, the emphasis on the miracle of the oil. Pratel tefillah, with the exception of Al Hanisim, ba huskara tshua milchama, abal yachsu lo lishmir ka'amur rabasas rivam dantas din the katat nikmasam. That the Al Hanisim has that
aspect. Except for that, the rest of the emphasis seems to be on the miracle, and even with the story in Al Hanisim, even with the story in Bimei Matisyahu, it's all about recognizing Hashem's role. It's not recognizing the power of the Jewish people, rather recognizing Hashem's role. So he says, Kol ze ba'al lamdeinu ad kama hisnagdu chachmei HaTorah v'hisnagid va'am likshur kesarim l'giborim milchama minatzchei krevos. He says, and all of this shows that the Rabbanim were very hesitant, the Chachmei HaTalmud were very hesitant to focus on human heroism, either focus on the miracles of Hashem, or that humans were successful because of Hashem. We don't want to take any strength or any heroism and impose it upon a single person, because that is dangerous, because that will lead to a lack of emunah, that will lead to a lack of faith. So therefore, the Chachmei HaTalmud were very nervous about mentioning the importance of power, the importance of war. And the truth is, a couple of issues, some in the article, some came to mind, that we see that the Gemara is regularly taking aspects that seem to be military might, seem to talk about human strength, and just totally slides it into something spiritual, something having to do with Torah, or something having to do with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's so quick, right? And we almost take it as an assumption, right? Those of us, especially if you come to the Navi Shir on Shabbos, so some of these examples will come from there, right? The Talmud, the text clearly seems to be talking about something physical, and the Talmud, the Gemara, clearly seems to take it, just takes it without us like realizing it, into a spiritual direction. So, for example, there is a pasuk in Yoshua, as Yoshua is working on his plan in order to destroy the city of Ai, which was the second battle that they had when they came into the land of Israel. So the pasuk says, "Vayishlchem Yoshua vayelchu el hamara vayeshu bein beis elu vein ha'ai miyam la'ai." That Yoshua was there, and he was went to the place of ambush, and he was sitting there that night. Vayolan Yehoshua b'layla hu besocha'am, and Yehoshua stayed there that night amongst the people. And what the next pasuk is, "Vayashkim Yehoshua b'boker," and Yehoshua got up in the morning. So that seems to be all that's there, right? Yehoshua is there at night, and the next with the camp and ready to ambush the people of Ai, as they were going to be chasing the Jews out, and the next morning Yehoshua wakes up. So the Gemara has like this long story that it sort of imposes upon this, that that Yehoshua was there at night, and the Gemara says, and he was confronted, and it's sort of mixing together psukim from a couple of different stories over the first couple of prakim of Yehoshua. And the Bible says, Emesh, and that what did, that he was there at night, and a malach actually came to speak to him, the Gemara says. And the Gemara, like, gave him mussar. He says, yesterday you weren't able to give the tamid shalbein arbaim, and now you're here at night, there's nothing else to do, and you're not sitting and learning Torah. And the angel is complaining to him that he's being mevatel his Torah. So Yeshua turns around to the angel and says, well, why'd you come? Amar lo al izi mehen ba. You just came with two complaints. Which one of those complaints caused you to come and complain to me? So Amar lo, so the angel responded, Atavati, I'm coming now. So miyad havilan Yeshua b'layla hu besocha emek. So Yeshua realizes that he's not learning enough Torah that night. And he spent that entire night learning Torah. What does it mean in the Emek? What does it mean? Which is a quote from a different area in Yehoshua. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Malamid Shelun Beumka Shel Halacha, that he resided in the depth of Halacha. And we also see based on this that Talmud Torah is more important than the bringing of Karbanos. Right. So what do we? So actually, both of those aspects have to do with him. Right. Yehoshua at war, or Yehoshua as, you know, as Karbanos, but both of them are trying to recognize and bring about the recognition of the importance of the spiritual aspect. It's sort of removing our focus from the war and saying, oh, the whole thing was happening on a spiritual realm. Which, okay, whether that's the pshat of the pasuk, probably not, but you see the focus of the Chachmei HaTalmud, the sages of the Talmud, to pull us into that direction. Don't focus so much on the physical aspect of the war, but rather focus more on the spiritual things that are going on. Similarly, this was a little bit more recent in our Shabbos Navi's year. It says the Vayon Echon Mehan Art that this is in the middle of the battle with Goliath, and they want to know who is this guy who's going out in order to fight Goliath. Who's David, right? Vayon Echon Mehan Art. The pasuk says Vayom Hinei Reisi Ben Liishai Beis Alachmi Yudei Nagin VeGibur Chayil VeIsh Melchama VeNavon Davar VeIsh Torah VaShemimo. That the answer, I saw that he was the son of Yishai, meaning David. He knows how to play music. He's strong. He's a warrior. He's careful. He's handsome. And Hashem is with him. That's what the Gemara says, right? That's what the Pasuk says, that he's big and strong and smart, and therefore he's going to be a great warrior. So the Gemara comes and takes this also in like a completely different direction. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin describes this as, this is what pushed Shaul over the edge in terms of his jealousy of David. He says, because that I see that it's Yisha, etc. But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, right? So Kol HaPasuk HaZeh Lo Amru Doeg El B'Lashon Hara. That all of this, all the things that Doeg was speaking here was Lashon Hara. Now, just to be clear, we're going to see, it's not Lashon Hara, it's all praise of David. But the truth is, sometimes even praising somebody when you know that it's going to bring about a sour reaction from the other person is considered to be Lashon Hara. So that's why the Gemara calls this Lashon Hara, because Doeg is doing it in order to evoke a reaction from Shaul. So he says, what does Gibor mean? Yudea Nagin, he knows how to sing. He means he knows how to ask questions. Yeshudea Lishal. Gibor, what does it mean to be strong? Sheyudei Lahashiv, knows how to answer questions. Ish Melchama, Sheyudei Lisei Velitein B'Melchamta Shel Torah. What does it mean to be a warrior? That he could do battle within the Beis Medrash. That he's very good at arguing the halachos in the Beis Medrash. And Ish Toar, Shemar Panim B'Halacha, that he's able to see the different perspectives in halacha. And Unachon Davar, Shemavin Davar Mitoch Davar, is able to demonstrate understanding. Vashem Yilmo, and Hashem is with him, meaning we always paskin like him. Shalacha Kamo, so Bechol Makom. So Bechol Amr Lu, Yonasan Beni Kamo, and all of them, Shaul responded, well, my son Yonasan is like him, until he told him that, well, he's not, right? So, but anyways, once again, we're taking this aspect of David, where the Pasuk is describing him as being a great warrior and big and strong and fast and smart and etc., and saying, oh no, all of that has to do with him in the Beis Medrash. All of that has to do with Torah. All of that has to do with his spirituality. And then finally, one more in source number 9. So, Pasuk in Tehillim, Chagur Charbucha al Yerech, Gibor Hodcha Bahadercha. Right, put your sword on your thigh, right? That will demonstrate your majesty and your glory. Now, it's actually, it's kind of, the pasuk itself might be referring to Hashem, but it's certainly highlighting the idea of going to battle and going to war. Now, this one is interesting because the Talmud itself gives us, goes back to the pshat, goes back to the simple explanation. And this is quoted in a halachic context in Maseches Shabbos. What do I mean? So the Gemara says, right, V'amri le Abaye le Rav Yosef, my time at Rebbe Eliezer de Amar tachshiten heinlo. Right? What is the reasoning? This is sort of, I'm pulling up in the middle of the sugi here. The Gemara is discussing, and this is something that has come up halachically recently, right? Is it permissible to wear a weapon on Shabbos? Right? So a sword or perhaps a gun, right? Is that something that is allowed or not allowed on Shabbos? Certainly, and especially outside of an Erev. Can I make the case that wearing a weapon is kind of a status symbol? Not if it's concealed, but if it's open, it's a status symbol, right? So maybe that I should therefore be allowed to, wear it. So the Gemara says, Amri le Abaye le Rav Yosef, Amri le Rav Aviv, Amri le Rav Yosef le Rav Dimi, Amri le Rav Aviv, Amri le Abaye le Rav Yosef. My time at Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar Tachshit and Hinlo. What's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer, who actually said that it is considered to be an ornament, who said that it's considered to be something nice that he wants to wear as a status? So it actually quotes it from this pasuk, Dichsiv Chabor. Charbecha al yerech gibor hodcha vahardercha. Right, gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, your glory and your splendor. I mean, so clearly, a sword on one's thigh is demonstrating one's glory and splendor. So There you go. You see that it's considered to be an ornament. It is considered to be a status symbol to be walking around with this weapon. So Amar Le Rav Kahana Lamar Berei de Rav Huna, he says, well, Hai B'Divrei Torah Ksiv. He says, wait a second, but I learned in yeshiva, right? And I know that that pasuk is not talking about physically walking around with a sword and physically walking around with a weapon. It's talking about Divrei Torah, meaning you should be, it's understood metaphorically to mean, that you have to be able, that having Torah at your side, having a good knowledge base of Torah, is something that's very important to have, something very important to do. So Amar Lei, so how are you coming along saying that it has anything to do halacha l'maisa with allowing somebody to carry a weapon on Shabbos? The pasuk has nothing to do, right? If you learn the Gemara, or this is actually or from the Medrash, you learn the Midrash, you learn the Gemara. The pasuk has nothing to do with carrying something into war, having some kind of having a weapon. Rather, it has to do with Torah. So Amar Lei, so he responded by saying, no, ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. You can't remove the pasuk from its pshat. Right? This is a quote that Rashi has. Rashi often says that I'm only coming to explain the pshuto shel mikra. I'm only coming to talk about what the pshat is. So here is where the Gemara says that you can't remove the pshat of the pasuk. The pshat, the simple explanation of the pasuk, has to mean something. And therefore, on this, while perhaps metaphorically we're going to teach it having to do with Torah, the pasuk is talking about psukim and does practically have something to. Sorry, is talking about weapons and therefore practically it does have something to do with. It does have what to teach us about the physical world as well. So an amar of kahana bar havina bar timnei srei shanin v'haba gemira le l'chule tamuda. So Rav Kahana bar havina comments that I've learned Torah. I've learned the entire Gemara. For 18 years, at the age of 18 years. When I was 18 years, I had already learned the entire Gemara. But I never recognized this idea until now. And the Gemara concludes by saying, my Kamash, what's that to tell us? The Ligmar Inish Fahadar Lispor, that a person should first learn, and then afterwards they will go and understand and get reasoning for this as well. But he said that one could go around saying that all of these things have to do with spirituality, but there is a pshat, and there are plenty of psukim in the Torah that do describe battle, that do describe war, and even though often they will be explained metaphorically, that pshat is still there. So the point that Rav Gorin was trying to make, and he makes it elsewhere as well, is that for many, many years, the most important part of the Hanukkah story was the miracle part of it. Was the fact that we have an HaKadosh Baruch Hu who will provide miracles for us. And we think throughout the last couple thousand years of Jewish history, that perhaps was always going to be the most important theme of Hanukkah. Bnei Yisrael was in a situation of being weak. They were in a situation of having the lower hand. And the festival of Hanukkah was that even when everything is dark, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability, Hashem has the ability to light it up. Hashem has the ability to say that everything is going to be okay and things are going to improve. And just as Hashem could cause a candle to stay lit for 8 days or oil to last for 8 days, Hashem will also be able to provide us enough sustenance to be able to survive whatever such difficult situation we're in. But Rav Gorin said the times have changed. That as we've now entered into the modern era, another important aspect of Hanukkah is celebrating the miracle the military victory while still recognizing Hashem's involvement in that. That we do recognize the importance of war, the importance of being able to fight for what we believe in and fight for our people and be able to defend ourselves, but yet at the same time recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in that as well. And that is also an important theme of Hanukkah that perhaps is becoming much more important to recognize now. I'll conclude just with one other thought that Rav Soloveitchik writes in that book towards the end, where he asks, why did the candles burn for 8 days and not 15 days or 5 days? He says, well, they required a few days of travel to get to the Galil to get the olives, prepare the oil, and bring it back. So therefore, it took 8 days because that would be the amount of time that it would take to get there and back. So the Rav added that there's an important moral lesson to be derived from that as well. God does miracles for us, of course, but a miracle is never unlimited. Sometimes man falls into narrow straits and cannot solve the problems, so Hashem brings in some miracle for what would otherwise occur naturally. He helps man and gives him an opportunity to regain his independence and initiative. Whenever a human hand can accomplish something, however, God does not substitute a miracle for human initiative. Wherever human initiative cannot bring something about, that's when he intervenes. But when we see someone drowning, we don't say, oh, God will save him. Rather, we have to save him ourselves. That's our ethical rule, and that's our moral duty. So we raised the question in the beginning that we have the miracle of the oil, but there's plenty of miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we celebrate this one? And we have a battle that took place, but there's plenty of times that B'nai Yisrael was successful in battles. Why are we celebrating this one? So perhaps it would suggest that it's the merger of the two. That it is the, on one hand, that Hanukkah symbolizes the fact that, yes, we do what we need to do, and we have the ability to defend ourselves, we have the ability to be militarily successful, and we have the ability to protect ourselves even not on a military level, on a community level, etc. But yet we also recognize the importance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays in that, and that Hashem is coming along, and that perhaps we wouldn't even be successful without HaKadosh Baruch Hu being present, right? A military victory without the miracle of the oil would not have warranted the celebration. It's the fact that, and Hashem showed himself during that, is supposed to then be a reminder for what we're supposed to take from Hanukkah throughout the year. That we do our best, we do our ishtadlus, we do our work, both on the military field as well as in everything else that we do, but yet we also recognize that we're not going to be successful without the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps even Hashem doing a miracle for us on our behalf from time to time as well. So, all right, we'll stop here. You could all continue with your latkes, continue with your lunch, and I wish everybody a Chag Chanukah Sameach.